behind the children's liturgist.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus Saul had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So Saul went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought Saul down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up. Living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. The Word of the Lord.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. My vows I will pay before those who fear God. The poor shall eat and shall have their fill. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May their hearts live forever and ever. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. All the earth shall remember and return to the Lord. All families of the nations shall bow down in awe. They shall bow down in awe of the mighty of the earth. All who must die and go down to the dust. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. My soul shall live for God, and my children too shall serve. They shall tell of the Lord to generations yet to come. Declare to those unborn the faithfulness of God. These things the Lord has done. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
A reading from the first letter of John. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if your hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases God. And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. The Word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to His disciples, I am the vine, and My Father is the vine grower. Every branch that bears no fruit, He cuts away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes and makes it clean, so it bears more fruit. You have been pruned by the word that I have spoken to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine, so neither can you apart from Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in Me and My word, I abide in you. The branch that does not bear fruit is cut off and it withers, it's thrown aside, and then they're gathered up and they're burned. If you abide in Me and My word abides in you, then whatever you ask, it shall be given to you. Now this is the glory of My Father, that you bear much fruit and that you are My disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia,
alleluia. Jesus gives in the Gospel reading today is a teaching about holiness. What does it mean to be holy? Holiness has to do with one's closeness to the Lord. Just as the branch is held tightly to the vine, so you and I are invited to find our life in the vine who is Jesus. The 16th century was a very turbulent century for the life of the church. It was the time of the Reformation and a time of great upheaval, politically and socially and religiously. And out of that upheaval, great figures emerged. And great reformation took place both within and outside the church. And a century later, in the early part of the 17th century, on one day, five people from that earlier period were declared saints of the church. The first was Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit community. The second was Francis Xavier, one of those early Jesuits who became the missionary to the Far East. The third one was Teresa of Avila, the founder of the Carmelites of the Strict Observance, and a person who brought Reformation to houses of religion throughout Europe. A fourth one was Saint Philip Neri. He is the founder of the Oratorians, and through his effort, great strides were made to once again ensure that the great universities of Europe were bastions, were fortifications of Christian theology. And then there was a fifth one. This person never ever wrote a word that we have, and to our knowledge, he never ever gave a speech. He founded no community, he had no followers. He lived and he died pretty much unknown. He was a very simple person, and yet a person who had a profound sense that what he did made a great difference, and that he was a cooperator, he was a partner with God in the salvation of the world. He was born in Madrid, Spain, and he was a farmer. His name is Isidore. He's a very simple man, a deeply religious man. He recognized that what he did in tilling the field and planting the crops and harvesting was absolutely necessary for the well-being and the life of his neighbors and friends. And he had a profound sense that what he did and what so many other farmers did was actually a religious work. He found in his work the means of his holiness. He's a very generous man, and even though he had little, the door of his house was always open, and there was always an extra plate at the table for a traveler or a neighbor in need. And not only was he concerned about human beings, but he was concerned about the animals, for he had a strong sense that all of creation is placed into the hands of men and women. And so in the harshness of the winter, when animals would have very little to eat, as he carried the corn to the mill, he would often stop on the road and he would cut open the sack and he would leave half the corn for the animals and the birds. His neighbors laughed at him, they scoffed at him, they They talked about this prodigal waste. And yet Isidore knew that rather than waste, it was a care for, a stewardship of what had been handed to him. Well, Isidore lived his life as a farmer. And when he died, his neighbors and his friends were profoundly surprised by the huge crowds of people who came to his funeral. And most of his neighbors didn't know any of these people. These people were the strangers, those in need, who over the years Isidore had given a helping hand, who over the years Isidore had befriended. Shortly after his death, people began to make pilgrimage to his grave, particularly farmers. And they prayed through his intercession for a good crop or the end of a drought or the cessation of a flood. And the prayers that they prayed were effective. Now, those five people who on that one day were declared saints of God and models of Christian life. Francis Xavier and Ignatius Loyola, Teresa of Avila, Philip Neri, great lights, some of the brightest lights in the history of the church. But also probably people that you and I have very, very little in common. But Isidore the farmer, an ordinary, everyday, garden variety human being, a person who found his holiness in the simple work that he did. We can identify with that. You see, we don't have to abandon our daily life in order to find the holiness that God calls us to. That holiness is rooted right in our daily life. For the teacher, that holiness is found in the classroom and behind the teacher's desk. For the butcher, that holiness is found in his shop as he's trimming meat. For the homemaker, that holiness is found in the daily work of maintaining a home. For the student, that holiness is found in his or her books and the classrooms that make up his or her life. The holiness is found in the work we do. Now, at the end of the statements Jesus makes in today's gospel, he says to his hearers, "This is the glory of God." The fruit you bear. The glory of God is the visible, tangible, if you will, sacrament of God's presence. In the Old Testament, we're told that Moses saw the glory of God in the burning bush. We're told that the people of Israel, as they went from slavery to freedom, saw the glory of God in a pillar of fire by night that led them across the desert and a cloud by day that showed them the way. Those tangible signs, those sacraments, if you will, of the presence and the power of God. Well, Jesus says, forget about burning bushes and forget about fiery columns and forget about clouds. The tangible, visible sign, the sacrament of God's presence is found in the fruit that you bear, in the work that you do. The daily work of Isidore manifested and showed forth the glory of God. Holiness is very, very simple. It has to do with drawing close to the Lord and then practically living out our daily life, conscious of the Lord's presence, and that what we do makes a difference. Now that invitation to holiness came to each of us in the sacrament of baptism. And every single week as we come together at the table of the Lord, we are invited into a deeper, more solid, more intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's why First Communion is a very, very, very important day. Because when you come to receive communion this morning, and when you hold out your hands, and I say to you, the body of Christ, you say amen, and I place the communion in your hand, and you put it into your mouth, in a very special way, Jesus comes to live with you. And he does that again and again and again every time you come to receive communion. And as much as you want to be with him, a bazillion times more he wants to be with you. And that's the wonder of God's love for us. And he wants us to live out that special relationship, that special closeness that we have with him. That's true of you, and that's true of every single one of us. All of it began in the waters of baptism. And so as we continue our prayer, as we seek to grow closer to the Lord, it's important that we renew the act of faith made first in baptism. Please stand. Credo, credo, amen. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth?
Credo, credo, amen.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God? You believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.